food, family,
presents,
Christmas-themed special episodes of your favorite local news podcast. What do you like best about the holidays? We stopped by Philander Lee Elementary to ask some of the students there what they think. What's your name?
Kate.
Nice to meet you, Kate. How old are you?
Seven.
Can you read me your letter?
What I like best about the holidays, finding my elf on the shelf, and he makes you laugh when you find him.
Yeah, he makes you laugh? What are some funny places you found him?
In a pool of marshmallows.
What? I may have been found in a pool of marshmallows before. That sounds like a fun place to be, right?
Yeah.
I'd be in a big pool of marshmallows if I could. Anything else? You found him in, like, your laundry or in your drawer or something like that?
We found him in, like, in a fridge.
Oh, really? Man, your elf likes to eat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, thank you, Kate, for reading me your letter. So, what's your name?
Philo.
And how old are you, Philo?
Seven.
Nice to meet you. Do you have a letter you could read me?
Yes.
Yeah? Would you read it?
Yes.
Okay.
I like New Year's Day because we say chikmanamai and then we get $1.
Wow, what does that word mean?
It means Happy New Year.
Oh, that's such a cool word. Can you say it again?
Chikmanamai.
Should I try and say it?
Yeah.
Chikmanamai. Did I get it?
No.
Let me try again. What language is that?
The Vietnamese.
That's so cool. Thank you for sharing. What's your name?
Rylan.
Rylan, nice to meet you. How old are you?
Seven.
Yeah, seven or eight? Yeah, it changes every year. It's hard to keep track, right? Nice to meet you. Would you please read me your letter?
At Christmas time, I like to give gifts because it makes me happy, and I like to put the star on the top of the tree.
Oh, do you need help putting the star on?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to get, like, a ladder or get your parent to help you?
My dad always lifts me up and puts it on.
He must be real strong. Yeah, nice. Thank you so much, Rylan.
My name is Abby, and I'm 6 years old.
Awesome. Can you read your letter?
I like to decorate my tree with my mom and my brother.
Great, thank you. Awesome sweater that you have.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What's your name?
Brooke, and I am in second grade, and I'm 7. And what I like best about the holidays is going to the racetrack with my family and looking at the lights for the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh, cool. You get to go to the racetrack? Have you done it yet this year?
No.
No? But you're going to?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you, Brooke. So what's your name?
My name is Charlotte.
And how old are you?
I'm 8 years old.
Thank you so much.
What I like best about the holidays is giving gifts to others because it makes them feel happy and it makes me feel good inside.
Oh, that's so nice.
Is this going on?
I think that same thing. Thank you so much, Charlotte.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
I'm Lily and I'm 8 years old.
Thank you.
I like when it snows for the holidays. My favorite is having a snowball fight with my sister, Chloe.
Ooh, that sounds really fun. Do you usually win or does Chloe win?
Me.
Yeah, I bet. Thank you so much for sharing.
I'm Caitlin and I'm 7 years old.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
I like the holidays because almost every holiday is about love, support, and family. And that is what I love about holidays.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Good. Very good job.
I'm Emmanuel. I'm 7 years old.
That's awesome. Will you read me your letter?
I like to leave Santa milk and cookies and carrots for their reindeers.
Oh, nice. No one ever thinks of the reindeer. That's very smart. Thank you, Emmanuel.
My name is Ethan A., and I am 6 years old.
That's great.
What I like best about the holidays, Santa comes to my house and other people, presents for everyone.
Nothing not to like about that, right? That's fun. Great, thank you. Can you please tell me your name?
Emma.
Emma, nice to meet you. How old are you, Emma?
7.
Great. Would you read your letter for me?
My favorite time of Christmas is when my whole family goes to my Nana and Ami's house on Christmas Eve. We make gingerbread houses, open presents, and we sing songs.
Oh, that sounds so fun. What are your favorite songs to sing?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bells. When my grandpa, he plays them on his accordion.
Oh, he has an accordion? That is so cool. Thank you, Emma. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me your name?
Gwen.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Gwen. How old are you?
7.
I'm 7 too. Just kidding. I'm a little older, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have something you could read us?
Mm-hmm. I like Christmas because I get to play outside with my brother and have a snowball fight, and I jump on my trampoline and make all the snow come up. It looks very cool.
Oh, that sounds like it'd be really cool. When you have snowball fights with your brother, who usually wins?
Me.
That's what I figured. Yeah, you look like you'd be good at snowball fights. Nice to meet you. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas. The Oregon Trail Pitch Pipers are a local chapter of the Barbershop Harmony Society. They've been making beautiful music in and around Canby for over 50 years. Their annual show is in February at the Canby Fine Arts Center, but one of the best times to hear them is around Christmas.
Soul felt its worth, a thrill of awe.
All right, listeners, we got a real treat for you today. He is a stand-up comedian and the host of Can't Wait for Christmas, a fun and hilarious podcast that keeps the Christmas spirit alive all year long. It's Tim Babb. Tim, welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited to have you, man. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I should confess, my voice is a little scratchy because I always overdo it around Christmas time, so I apologize to your listeners for hearing gravelly Tim.
That's okay. That's kind of your thing, the Christmas thing, right? We'll talk about that. But you live down in California. I was wondering if you were obviously calling you from Canby, Oregon. Wondering what your experience was with Oregon, if you've ever been through here or done any shows or anything out this way.
I have definitely done some shows in Oregon. Now that I'm starting to say it out loud, I cannot remember where they were.
Not remember a single one.
Well, I've only actually performed in Oregon, I think, twice.
Okay.
One was at a casino, and the other was at it was just a bar that did, both of them just like they do a comedy night, and I came by and did one.
Gotcha.
And then I've done some shows in Washington where I've had to drive through. And one of my cousins lives in Oregon, so I've been up to see her a couple times.
Okay, cool. Whereabouts?
Portland.
Okay. Cool. What do you think of Portland?
Yeah, a really obscure town in Oregon that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, I'd never heard of Portland. What do you think of Portland, Oregon?
That was nice. I like it.
No details.
I mean, when
we've
you're there,
we've got a comedy scene going out there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I did a NACA performance up there.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I tried to audition to be to be the comedian that the colleges would invite to their college, and so that they had the NACA showcase up there.
Uh-huh.
And none of the colleges wanted me.
They didn't.
So that's probably why I blocked it out.
Your repressed memory. Well, Tim, I discovered your show, the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast this year, and I've just been loving it. You know, it kind of makes me feel I'm not as crazy as I always thought for just I'm the only person in my group of friends that is excited when Christmas music starts coming on and loves eggnog. Everyone I know hates eggnog, all of that stuff. So discovering your show has really been cool, and it's really fun. It's really well done. But I wanted to ask why you are so insane, why you are the way that you are, why you love Christmas as much as you do.
So what happened, the origin story, if this was a superhero movie,
Your parents are dead.
Oh no! Well, you're half right.
Now I'm sad.
The first or second year, my first son was born. Mm. It was the first. It might have been the first year, actually. No. Sorry, I don't know why. This is not the sticking point, but I have to tell you, it was the second year my son was born.
Your oldest son is 7 now, so is this about 5-6 years ago?
Exactly. That is correct.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always liked Christmas because who doesn't? It's great. But I became obsessed with it because one Christmas, not only was I doing stand-up comedy, but I also had a day job that I was working 5 days a week, and a second day job that I was working the other 2 days a week, and then a third night job where I was doing online stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the
grief,
Christmas
man.
Season completely passed me by that year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the lights on our house, on the outside of our house, until I think Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And worse, we were leaving the day after Christmas to go across the country. So I enjoyed them for 3 days. And by the time I came back, it was time to take them down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for some reason, ever since then, I feel like I'm not getting enough Christmas. It never switched back off. Okay, I'm full.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you were just deprived that 1 year, and it just created this deep hole that can never be filled, huh?
I guess so. Wait. Jingle Bells is a good song all the time. Why do I have to wait till December?
It's not even super Christmassy, honestly. I mean, it's more wintry.
Yeah. I mean, it was written as a Thanksgiving song, as we mentioned on, I think, episode 2 or 3.
Yeah. Yeah. What do your friends think about this? Because, I sort of mentioned, I have people that 1 month, maybe 2 months of Christmas is enough, and they sort of get their fill, and are just, done. with Christmas, and I'm wondering, do you have people that are just I can't be around Tim anymore? He's always about the Christmas thing.
No, because I try to. One of the great things about having the podcast is that was my outlet to dump it all into.
Okay.
So it's not like I'm running around every time Christmas, everybody, Christmas, Christmas. Tim, it's March. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas.
Gotcha. So you just pour it all
into
there.
My wife, who has to put up with the brunt of it, and she takes it in stride.
Mm-hmm.
But I will wear Christmas, like, you know, wear, like, off season, because I'm like, it's a shirt. It's clean. I'm gonna wear it.
Yeah.
And people are just like, oh, that's Tim. That's something Christmassy. But then, of course, anytime something Christmassy comes up, they're always like, let's ask Tim about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. So you do have that outlet, so you're not annoying your friends all the time. But they know if it's a Christmassy thing, they know who to go to. So
exactly. And, you know, iPhones, iPods, computers, they all have headphones, so they don't know I'm listening to Christmas music all the time.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is just the new Drake album. Just pretend.
But that's why I would lose them, because I don't know anything about popular music. Oh, okay. I'd be like, oh, that new singer, Durake. No, Tim, that's not his name.
That's not how it's pronounced. That's the weirdest way to pronounce that. Are there any kind of sort of weird or unusual Christmas traditions that you've discovered either through history or that are specific to, like, small towns that are kind of funny or interesting that you could share?
Well, one, I'm actually, as we're recording this, I'm actually doing it tomorrow. I don't know, it feels weird to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is like a California thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing a 5K run.
You are
to raise money for, I can't remember what charity. That's how dedicated I am to it. Some charity.
Yeah, doing a 5K run sounds really weird to me. That's not my thing, so.
Yeah, it's called the Santa Run, and they give you like a Santa suit to wear during the run.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot overemphasize how not athletic I am. I don't know why I signed up for this. I mean, I think it's just for the free Santa suit.
Well, that's always good. Is it like a run/walk, or you have to run? Because that would kill me.
Oh, I think you can walk. Okay. Especially because I think I'll be pushing. My youngest stroller. In a stroller.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be like, look. I would be running faster, but I have this stroller.
Right, right. I would totally be killing it right now if it weren't for this kid.
Yeah, I would be like Usain Bolt, but.
Right. That's good. Yeah, so it's a 5K run/walk/crawl/drag yourself aching body across the finish line.
Like, if we're push comes to shove, I might call Uber midway through it and be like, could you just take me to the finish line, please?
Yeah, yeah. What kind of traditions do you have in your family?
I have a really random tradition that I do. When I was a little kid, I got to open one present after midnight mass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that always was the case. But one particular year, I got the movie Back to the Future Part 2 on VHS. I am old!
Yeah. Dating yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to watch it. And my mom was like, great. She went back to bed. So now I try and watch Back to the Future 2, even though it has nothing to do with Christmas. Almost every, not the Christmas Eve necessarily, but often, like, when I'm wrapping presents, I will watch Back to the Future 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also added Superman, the movie, which coincidentally is celebrating its 40th anniversary right now, because it was released this time, like around this time, back in 1978.
Yeah.
So I technically consider it a Christmas movie.
Yeah. That's interesting that you're the Christmas guy, but some of your favorite Christmas movie traditions aren't super overtly Christmas.
I mean, I don't want you to worry. I still make time for Scrooge and Muppet Christmas Carol and Mickey's Christmas Carol, the Santa Claus, the Polar Express. I get them all done.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about Tim Bat.
Yeah. Okay, I won't. Now that you said that. In doing your show, you know, I see obviously I listen to your show. You have a feedback section, and I, you know, see some of the reviews and things. It seems like you've really tapped into some folks that are just obviously loving what you're doing, kind of felt like I did, kind of a little bit of an outlet and a little bit of a need, like, oh, I'm not as crazy as I thought I was. What has that been like to get some of that feedback and some of that kind of indication that maybe you're not as crazy as you thought, and just to kind of meet some people that just enjoy just kind of letting loose and enjoying the fun and not being so Scroogely, I guess, this time of year, just letting the joy flow.
It was pretty awesome, I have to say, because when I first started this, I was like, nobody's going to listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it was just like, I'm, you know, it's a hobby. I'll have it. Like, it'll exist on the internet. I'll be shouting into the wind, and maybe, you know, one or two people will listen to it and be like, you're weird, and that'll be
right.
The end of it.
Right.
But, I've cultivated a little following of people who are like, yeah, I like Christmas. Mm-hmm. And even some people, what's crazy is I've gotten some people who are like, I don't particularly like Christmas, but I enjoy your show. I was like, what? How?
Oh,
why?
There you go, bridging that gap. Good for you, man. What do you guys what do you call yourselves? You've come up with a few different nicknames for Christmas.
Oh, for the listeners,
people?
We call them the waiters.
The waiter. Oh, okay.
Although someone came up with Yule Fool.
Uh-huh.
One of the listeners came up with Yule Fool, and I just like that as a term.
Yeah.
Like, what's up, Yule Fool?
Yeah, yeah, very hip. And also, waiter is already a thing, Tim.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's a different thing.
The devil, you say?
So you did an episode also pretty recently, a few months ago. It was all about Andy Williams, and he's kind of known as Mr. Christmas. But from the episode, it seemed like you hadn't necessarily done like a deep dive into kind of his background or anything like that before. Do you want to tell just a little bit about him and kind of what that was like to do that research on him and find out a little bit more about who he was?
Yeah, I mean, it was because I knew of his Christmas music, but that was literally all. Like, I should look up what else he's done, because I'm sure he didn't just sing Christmas music and then go to sleep 11 months of the year.
Right.
And it turns out, I mean, of course not. Like, he had a bunch of hits, and, you know, most famously Moon River, and which wasn't even, like, it was a song he re-recorded because somebody else sang it in, Audrey Hepburn sang it in Breakfast at Tiffany's? That can't be right. I can't remember.
Okay.
But I feel like we have listeners
screaming at us right now, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I will say that when I found his song "Music to Watch Girls By," which I guess became super popular in Europe later in his life. Like, it was an older song, like 60s, 70s, and then like in the last, I don't know, 10, maybe a little bit more years, it just shot up. Oh, they used it in a commercial in the UK, and it shot back up the charts to, like, I think number 2. And when I found that song, I'm like, I can see why this is a very enjoyable song.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it reads as a Christmas song to me, even though now it has nothing to do with Christmas.
Right. Just because of who sang it.
Because it's Andy Williams, and that's all I know him from.
Right.
It's a Christmas song.
Right. Anything associated with Andy Williams is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so my first job as a reporter was in Branson, Missouri, back in 2010 through 2012. And Andy Williams was still alive and performing down there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He had his
Moon River Theater, right?
The Moon River Theater, named after that song. And I was just a young, fresh out of college kid, did not really know anything about Andy Williams. And he was just obviously a huge star in that town, but it just, to me, was I don't know. yeah. And unfortunately, you know, pretty soon after I started working there, it came out that he, well, it was actually in this tabloid newspaper that he had been diagnosed with cancer. And my editor was on me to try to find out if that was true. And I was I don't, you know, what am I going to do? I'm not a tabloid, I'm not a paparazzi, you know, I'm not going to stalk this guy. But everyone was trying to find out because, people love Andy Williams and they were worried about him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I'm all I can do, I'm calling the theater and, trying to get them to, tell, is it true, is it not? And they're being really vague. And so I was talking to, the director or somebody at the theater, and he's just we can't say anything. So I'm like, okay, hang up. He calls back on my cell phone. It's this really deep throat type thing, you know. He's okay, I still can't tell you anything, but you should come to the theater tonight. You know, you should be there. And he wouldn't tell me anything more. And so I did. Felt okay, something's gonna happen. And that night, Andy Williams came out completely by surprise. It was during the Christmas season. He was Mr. Christmas down in Branson, you know, he was everywhere else. But he did, near the end of his life, he was just doing just the Christmas shows. That's when he would do his performances in Branson. And he had scheduled shows that year, but he wasn't doing them. So that was another thing that people were what is going on with Andy? So he showed up that night, and I was the only reporter, only media there. And he did admit, he was you may have seen, it was kind of cool. He was you may have seen in the press that I have cancer. And he said, I do have cancer. But I'm going to beat it is what he said. And, you know, all these people are cheering and everything. And he did, one last song, and, it was a really powerful moment. And like I said, it was kind of a big moment for me in my career because I was the only reporter there. And I had this really crappy, like, recorder that I just set out, like, on the stage somewhere or something, and then I went to take pictures. And I didn't even know if, I used it, like, years ago when I wrote the story, but I didn't know if I still had recording of that performance. And just recently when I was looking for something for this episode to see if maybe that audio still survived, I found out that it was still there. And I was wondering if you might want to hear it, of Andy's last performance.
That would be awesome.
I can't tell you how much fun it is to love you. And I'll be coming back here September and October. And Sharon intends to do those shows that we've planned to do, and also to do the Christmas show again next year. But I really miss singing, and as you, most everybody knows, I started singing with my brothers as a vocal group, and I probably will end up as a vocal group singer. But as long as I have these guys here, I'd like to do one song with my brothers on Charlie Christmas song.
Then he just walked off the stage.
That is awesome. I'm so jealous you got to be there for that.
Yeah, it was, it just hearing that really brings me back, because he was just this like small, old, you know, unfortunately like sick man, but still like so classy, so like had so much presence, you know. And he had some, there was this quartet that was backing him there, because they had actually taken his place doing the Christmas show. They were this like Four Seasons tribute act. But like, obviously, you could just feel like he was obviously the man, you know, there. Like, we, with those four guys, like they took their lead from him. Like, he was Mr. Christmas. And I think it was like really appropriate that even maybe it wasn't a song that he did that was something he was really famous for. It wasn't Moon River. It wasn't, you know, Most Wonderful Time of the Year. A Christmas song, at least, you know, I think is really appropriate and just really true to who he was. So
Mm-hmm. Wow. Sadly, like, even if I had been there at the time, I don't think at my age, at the time, I would have appreciated it. But
yeah.
Just to have been there, and then now to be able to look back on, like, oh, that's so awesome that you were there for that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's the same. You know, like, I was a super young kid. You know, I'm, like, so old now. I'm, like, 30. But, but yeah, like, it definitely, the impact has grown. And obviously, you know, at that time, like, we didn't know that was his last performance, or that he wasn't, unfortunately, going to be able to beat cancer and survive, you know. So that has added to the impact, you know. But yeah, the courage and the poise that he showed was really cool. And yeah, obviously, I'm like super grateful that I was able to be there to see that.
So yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's so great.
Yeah, no problem. All right, Tim. Well, I think that's about all the time we have. Anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, just Merry Christmas, and remember to keep that spirit alive all year long, specifically on the 25th of each month. That's when the podcast comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can find Tim at CantWaitForChristmasPod.com, and also Can't Wait for Christmas Podcast, wherever you find your podcast, whatever your favorite app is. Tim, this was really fun. Thank you so much, man. I'm so glad to talk to you, and you're a really funny guy, and yeah, hope you get some more listeners from this. Appreciate it.
No, thanks very much. I really appreciate you having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. All right, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Led by conductor Brooks Gingrich, the Canby High School Choir is one of the premier choral programs in the state, and their winter performances are always one of the best shows in town. What you're about to hear is from a performance by the Canby Cantilenas at the Grove Camp and Retreat Center earlier this month.
Thank you. spotted by prophet foretold, should bring forth a Savior, which now we behold, to be our Redeemer from death, hell, and sin, which our own transgressions involved us in. Then let us be merry, put sorrow away. Our Savior Christ Jesus was born on this day. Then let us be merry, put sorrow away. Our Savior Christ Jesus was born on this day. God sent down an angel from heaven so high to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lie, and made them no longer in sorrow to stay, because that our Savior was born on this day. Then let us be merry, put sorrow away. Our Savior Christ Jesus was born on this day. Then let us be merry, put sorrow away. Our Savior Christ Jesus was born on this day. And presently after the shepherds did spy a number of angels that stood in the sky. They joyfully talking and sweet did sing, to God be all glory, our heavenly King. Then let us be merry, put sorrow away. Our Savior Christ Jesus was born on this day. Then let us be merry, put sorrow away. Our Savior Christ Jesus was born on this day.
Woo!
Thank you. us if you will, as we are singing once again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Now you may have your holy and perhaps your mistletoe. Maybe a fir tree and maybe snow. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have again peace on earth?
Jerusalem in the morning.
Merry Christmas from the Canby City Council.
Greg Parker.
Tracy Hensley.
Tim Dale.
Sarah Spoon.
Sean Varwig.
Tracy Height.
Mayor Brian Hodson.
And the Canby Now podcast.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama, in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap.
When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer.
With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment he must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all.
As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and Saint Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof, the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney Saint Nicholas came with a bound.
He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow.
The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night!"